Your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions, and this can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any time, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Piet van der Slikke, CEO, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney, and welcome everybody. I'm here with my colleague Hans Kooijmans traditionally, and we will be pleased in a minute to answer your questions. You will have seen that the first quarter results were very strong, with EBITDA growth of 59% to almost €140 million. Most of the growth was organic and based on strong demand, increasing prices, an ability to strengthen our margins, and expansion of our business with new product lines. All regions and business segments contributed to the growth. Supply chains and lead times remain challenging. Also, in this quarter, we have been able to execute our strategy by doing acquisitions to complement business segments and regional presence. In this respect, I want to mention that we acquired a business in China in the attractive personal care market. In Central America and Mexico, we have quickly obtained a strong position, which will be an engine for future organic growth. I want to emphasize again that notwithstanding the quarterly excitement of a listed company, we consistently over the years are building a global company which is focused to serve the top suppliers in the world and to help our customers to formulate their products. IMCD has unique knowledge of many applications in various market segments, which is supported by an extensive network of application labs and technicians across the world. It makes us robust in downturns and, as we see today, extremely successful under favorable market conditions. Through all cycles, we will continue to focus on organic growth, and we will continue to be a consolidator. We continue also to invest significantly in our IT and digital infrastructure, which will help us to manage a global business and connect with our customers in their preferred way. Finally, we have many sustainability initiatives running, both aimed at reducing our own footprint, but also helping our customers to use more sustainable products. So with that, we remain optimistic about the immediate and long-term future, and I will now give over to Hans to guide you through the quarter one numbers.
Hans?
Thank you, Piet. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And as usual, a short summary of IMCD's first quarter 2022 results, whereby I will start on page 9 of the analyst call presentation. And as Piet indicated, we are happy to report another quarter with strong growth on most of the financial key figures. Forex adjusted revenue increased 32% and gross profit increased 36% in the first quarter of this year compared to the same period of last year. This gross profit increase was a combination of 31% organic growth and 5% as a result of the first time inclusion of the companies that we acquired in 2021 and 2022. All in all, this was the fifth quarter in a row with more than double-digit organic gross profit growth. Gross profit in percentage of revenue improved by 0.7 percentage point to 25.1%. This increase in percentage was a combination of product mix effects, changes in local circumstances, and successful internal gross margin improvement initiatives. Now, Forex adjusted operating EBITDA increased 54% to €140 million, and most of this increase was organic growth. The operating EBITDA margin increased by 1.7 percentage point to 12.6%. The conversion margin, calculated as operating EBITDA in percentage of gross profit, was 50.4%, which is 5.8 percentage point better than the same period of last year. And in all regions, we saw an improvement of this ratio. Forex adjusted net result increased 62% to €79 million. Free cash flow increased 5% and was, as you might have seen in the press release, impacted by additional working capital, which is an obvious and logic consequence of very strong revenue growth in the first quarter. Further, we finished this quarter with a strong order book leading to additional stock. Net working capital translated in days of revenue were 58 days, 4 days more than the first quarter of last year. And the clear logic behind this increase is the substantial revenue growth, which automatically leads to higher debtor position. As you might remember, reported debtor days, a low 16 number, are typically higher than average working capital days. So substantially increased sales automatically leads to higher debtor positions and increased working capital days. Year-to-date cash earnings per share were €1.65, an increase of 56% compared to the same period of last year. And on the last line of this page, you could see an 80% increase in our number of employees. And this increase is a combination of organic growth and the first-time inclusion of acquisitions. On the next slide, slide 10, you will find gross profit, EBITDA, and conversion margin per operating segment. EMEA reported 37% forex-adjusted gross profit growth and 56% operating EBITDA growth. Operating EBITDA and percentage of revenue improved 2% to 13.3%. And as most of the acquisitions in this region were relatively small, it's fair to assume that the impact of the acquisitions is limited and most of the growth is organic. A bit of a similar story in the second column with America's Q1 figures. Forex-adjusted gross profit in the Americas increased 36% and operating EBITDA increased 51%. Most of the EBITDA growth is organic. And reported growth numbers in euro were even more impressive due to some currency tailwind. Asia Pacific in the third column reported 34% gross profit growth and 40% operating EBITDA growth. Like the other segments, most of the reported growth is organic. Operating EBITDA in percentage of revenue and conversion margin further improved. And then in the last column, the cost of the holding companies, and this includes, as you know, all non-operating companies, including the head office in Rotterdam and the regional support offices in Singapore and the US. On page 11, a summary of IMCD's free cash flow. Adjusted operating EBITDA increased with 53 million, which is in line with reported operating EBITDA growth. Then 2 million of CAPEX, followed by 75 million working capital investment. And as mentioned before, this working capital investment was mainly the result of increased business activities. Then on page 12, a short update on net debt and leverage. Reported leverage ratios and leverage based on the definitions in the loan documentation slightly decreased to 2.2 and 1.5 times LTM EBITDA, respectively. The 1.5 times leverage ratio is well below the 3.5 times leverage threshold in the IMCD's loan documentation. In March, IMCD issued a 300 million rated corporate bond loan with institutional investors. This five-year senior unsecured bond, maturing in March 2027, has a fixed coupon of 2.1.25%, and the proceeds of this bond loan issue will be used for general corporate purpose, including the refinancing of existing indebtedness. And then last but not least, on page 14, you will find our outlook for 2022. So far, the short summary of our year-to-date financials, and Peter and myself are happy to answer your questions. I would like to hand over to the operator.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your line is unmuted locally and you will be advised when to ask your question. That was star 1 on your telephone keypad. And the first question comes in from the line of Matthew Yates calling from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions, please. I haven't seen a full balance sheet, so can you just help me understand a little bit better this working capital move? And as you said in your introductory remarks, to some extent, it's fairly mathematical given the higher top line and the inflation that comes through on the inventory value. But I'm curious, did you also make conscious decisions here to build up stocks? Because I think typically you wouldn't be making speculative bets to that degree. But does that tell me something about your confidence on the order backlog going into Q2? The second question is around profitability. I know there's various drivers of the margin, like mix and volume leverage, but conceptually, you had the biggest margin expansion in Europe, which we would typically consider a more mature region, so to speak. So how would you explain the development of that European margin versus perhaps what's been happening in the other regions? Thank you.
Shall I do the balance sheet? Matthew, basically, it is what you rightly said, more or less a mathematical exercise. The fact that the substantial increase in revenue drives our debtor volume up, so not so much our debtor days. They are still in the low 60s. What we typically see, if you look at the balance sheet, is that most of the inventories are financed with trade payables. The more you drive up your trade receivables, the higher the absolute amount of working capital is. The biggest part of the increase is coming from increased debtors. When we issued our full year results, we finished the years with quite an impressive inventory amount, to our opinion, based on the fact that we had a very strong order book for Q1. You're right, we never take speculative positions on stock, and we still report pretty high stock levels, basically to cover the open orders that we have in the books for Q2. We also see quite a strong start of Q2. The margin question, Piet, is that something you want to say something?
It's Matthew, it's of course always a difficult equation, so to say. It's a mix, as you also mentioned. I think what you also see, of course, is demand in Europe has been very strong, certainly also in countries where we have traditionally higher margins. I don't think that there is a very specific reason why we see that now, other than that we focus very much so on the specialty products. I think what pays out is that we have aligned with great suppliers, with great products, and the demand of these products is high. That is something that you see back in margins. Do you have anything to add there, Hans?
No.
No. That's basically the summary, Matthew.
I guess just to follow, the question would be then, is the margin expansion we're seeing very much a cyclical phenomenon of the current trading environment versus more structural measures that you may have been implementing?
No, I think, well, let's see in the future. I think that we have consistently been able to increase our percentage margin. There will undoubtedly be some effect of the current circumstances, but it is also very much our policy to drive up the margin also by adding services in terms of formulation help, formulation expertise, further specialization in certain market segments, be it in the industrial sector, very much so, for example, in construction and coatings, but also in the medical part of advanced materials, and similar trends in food, where we help our customers to formulate, for example, plant-based products. I think it's there's always an element of the current environment, but it is also a policy of our business.
Very good. Thanks for taking the time.
The next question comes in from the line of Rajesh Kumar calling from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first question is, when you, in your prepared remarks, you described gross margin increase due to mix and other factors. One of the factors was your own actions. You briefly alluded in response to Matthew's question what some of those actions could be, but if we could get some more color, that would be super helpful. Second question is on the mix of growth. We've got a reasonable amount of color on the geographic mix. If you could give us some color by the end market mix, that would be helpful. And if you find some growth surprising, I mean, I'm sure this level of growth is surprising in its own right, but just something that surprised you as a management team. And finally, I mean, a lot of investors are nervous that at the moment the comps are easy, comps get more difficult, and chemical prices and shortage means that your gross margins have gone up, which cyclically will reverse in the coming years. These earnings are sort of, they are frothed out by the supply chain shortages and price increases. Would love to hear your thought on the matter. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, Rajesh. Maybe to start with your last question. Everybody is always afraid of the future, and concerned. That's why I also emphasized in my introductory remarks the strength of our business model and the focus that we have on helping our customers to formulate the significance of our IT and digital infrastructure that enables us to really see through all the markets that we are working in. So I think also the mega trends in the world help us a lot to further organically grow. So there are many factors inside and outside of our company that help us to grow organically, and we do that consistently for a number of years, or for many, many, many years even. So yes, this situation, these market conditions are exceptional, but I think the underlying growth profile of IMCD is very strong. So I'm always a little bit concerned about people that talk about cycles. Yes, of course, we are not immune to the economy around us, but I would like to emphasize again the strength of the business model. The mix of growth, your second question, and in particular end markets, I would say I make it easy on myself, but it is also true that I would say all our markets, both the industrial and the life science markets, show very good growth. I wouldn't say that one segment, the life science, do better than industrial or vice versa. I would say that we, across our business segments, we see this growth continuing. Regionally, as also Hans pointed out, we see that same pattern. Yeah, our color on our own actions, margins. I mentioned something already in the answering of your previous questions. Again, it has always been a focus of IMCD and of our management, our team, our staff. Add as much as possible value to both our principals and our customers, and also then enable us to deliver relevant services and hopefully then also get a better price for that. So Will the margin be always at this level or being better? We will see, but we will do our utmost to accomplish that. So it's a focused, concentrated effort of IMCD to increase our margin profile. I hope this gives a bit of answers to your question.
This is very helpful. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Just one follow-up on the first answer. When you normally talk about your growth rate, you say underlying market growth or mid to high single-digit growth, depending on the segment you're looking at. Right. So we have been growing for 5 quarters, much faster than that on an organic basis. You know, have the underlying market exposures changed sufficiently that might be the norm, or do we start thinking of getting back to the underlying rates, which you always refer to?
Well, again, this is it's a good question, and it's a question that I have difficulty to answer because it would, of course, depend on many factors outside of our control. I think we all agree that today's circumstances and the circumstances in the last quarters have been exceptional. So I guess that at a certain point we will return to some more normal situation. However, I want to emphasize again, let's say that what we can do ourselves in terms of our margin growth is something that hopefully we can continue also going into the future.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes in from the line of Suhasini Varanasi, calling from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Just a couple for me, please. I think there is a general worry about, you know, how GDP and general economic environment has slowed a bit since the geopolitical situation changed in Europe. And also there's a bit of concern around China, given the lockdown situation there. Perhaps can you give us some color on how the trends have changed through the quarter? Where did you see any kind of slowdown because of these two events in Europe or APAC in March, April? Not looking for numbers here, but just a general sense of how you think the environment has been. And then the second one is, if we think about the last 2 years, I mean, definitely inflation has been a key differentiating factor compared to, let's say, the prior years, and supply chain challenges. And of course, there's probably been an increasing focus on sustainability. So have you been seeing, let's say, structurally higher services for reformulations as clients maybe look to source alternative materials which are maybe a little bit cheaper, or look to source alternative materials that are maybe a little more sustainable? And therefore, that part of the service mix is basically increasing in your gross profit. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. On your first question, there is, of course, if we look at China nowadays, of course, the lockdown has an effect on economic activity and also an effect for us. So we have to see how that effects will, let's say, how the lockdown will continue. As China is not, let's say, a major part of our business, the effect will be limited. Today we also announced that we will discontinue our activities in Russia. We also have said about that will not have a significant effect on our results. As to GDP slowdown, we have not seen an effect on that yet. We still have a strong order book. We see the trends that we saw in quarter one continue also in the second quarter. So in that sense, we see no signals that that something will change yet. Your second question on basically on what would sustainability and formulations, etc., change for us structurally? I think it's a very good question, because we ask that ourselves, of course, and we act on that. I mentioned already that we further specialize in business segments and have dedicated teams for example, sustainable solutions in certain markets. Where can we offer our customers formulations that are more sustainable, have a lower footprint, and hopefully then, of course, attract, let's say, structurally a service relation with these customers long term. And we do that in various business segments, intensive seminars that we do with customers in business segments, trying to offer them example formulations that they can use. So I would say in that sense, the forward integration of what we do is increasing, and in that sense also the relevance and the ability to hopefully then, of course, also bind customers to us long term and extract the value out of the market. So it is a trend in the market, and a trend that we definitely also react on. I hope that gives a bit of a answer to your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you. If you don't mind my asking a follow-up over there, I mean, does the increase in, let's say, the need for reformulations because of the drive towards sustainability, does that also account for some of the, let's say, margin improvement trends that can probably sustain in the medium term? Thank you.
Yeah, that of course we hope that, and of course we also aim for that. But it is not the first, let's say, first reason for doing it.
Because in the end, we have to also help our customers to stay relevant in the market itself.
But very often, it is the case what you say, that we then, natural products in formulations, sometimes less hazardous products in formulations, but more maybe more expensive ones. It's a mix, but I think a mix that finally also will result in better margins for us.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question comes in from the line of Chetan Udeshi, calling from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I was just wondering, within the M&A strategy, are you guys adopting it at all? And I'm just referring to, one of the US guys announcing their intention to, exit the distribution business, and they tend to do more the polymers and plastic distribution. Is that something that you would be interested in, or are you happy with the current motto? And then the second question was, I mean, we saw, in Q4 last year, I think there was one, I don't remember, was it a Dutch company, or at least there was one European specialty company, chemicals distributor, which was taken over by a private equity company. Do you see for bigger strategic assets maybe more competition today from private equity companies or other industry participants than was the case in the past, just given how well IMCD share price has done in general over the last 3 years?
Yeah. Thank you for these questions. On the first question, the divestment in the U.S., the polymer divestment, let me answer it in a general way. I mean, we look at all possibilities where we looked in the framework, or does it fit in our strategy? And that means that it has to have a specialty focus, and it has to fit in the strategies of our underlying business segments. So with that view, we look at also at this one, so to say, that you allude to. Competition for M&A, certainly. Private equity, of course, is for a very long time active in the chemical distribution sector. As a matter of fact, Brenntag was private equity owned once, and of course we, as you know, now there are others. Azelis has been private equity owned for a very long time. So that competition has been around. I would say that perhaps now, since we were listed and after us, Azelis, that perhaps maybe increased a bit of appetite with others. So I would say the level of competition for acquisitions is significant, but it always has been. So I would say perhaps a little bit more than in the past, but we still feel that we are able, with our strategy and our, let's say, way of dealing with M&A, that we still have a very good potential for further growth also in that area.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And the next question comes in from the line of Kieran Mulder, calling from ING. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Hans and Pete, congratulations with the numbers. I think this is a nice start of 2022. After a 20% organic growth last year, starting with over 30%, that is quite amazing for us. But okay, I have three questions. My first question is about the working capital. Can you give me somewhat more detail on, let me say, the breakdown in that working capital? Is that inventory? Is that debtors? Is that somewhat biased toward the debtors, I think? Then with regard to 2021, when we discussed the shortage of certain products, is that still the case in the market? Are you still products which are not available, where there's still somewhat backlog coming up, and that you were not able to deliver? And my third question is about the pharma. Pharma was somewhat lagging behind last year, related to COVID against flu. Is that picking up? Is that growing faster this year than it was last year? That were my three questions for this moment.
Hans, will you do the first one?
Yeah. Kieran, thanks for the questions. It's a bit of the same what I said before. The biggest driver of the increase in working capital is related to increased debtor positions. Yeah. If you grow your top line so much as what we did, at the same time, if you keep your debtor days at a low 60, and then. The debtor position is basically driving the working capital days of the total. Stock and creditors basically are there to fulfill the obligations from open purchase orders. And as you might have seen in the past, there is always a bit of a nice balance between what we have on the inventory side and the trade payable side. So you can absolutely assume that the increase is mainly driven by increased business activities leading to additional debtor positions with no delays in payment from debtors. So a healthy debtor book.
So, and there's no, the M&A was limited, M&A being back.
No, the 75 million excludes M&A.
Yeah.
That this is typically only operational working capital growth, and the M&A impact is on another line in the cash flow statement.
Yeah, okay.
It's like for life.
Okay, on the other two questions, shortages, I would say there's always in such a large portfolio some issues. It doesn't really affect us now. What we see, though, is still lead times that are longer. So it's more a question of a burden and stress on our
customer service departments to deliver orders in time and to plan orders, etc., because supply chains are still disturbed. Here and there we have some force majeure still with our suppliers, but I would say that that this has eased somewhat over time, so it's improving. On pharma, I think generally a remark on pharma is that it is of course extremely stable business in terms of growth pattern. So yes, they are totally back on track.
Thank you. Thanks.
The final question comes in from the line of Dominic Edridge, calling from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking the question. Just a couple from myself. Just firstly, just looking at your employee numbers, obviously they're up by around, I think, about 18% in the quarter. And I think your gross profit was up around about 36%, FX adjusted. So sort of just on the surface of it, the gross profit per FTE is up significantly. Is that sort of a measure that you think about, or something that really doesn't make a lot of sense, just given, as you say, all the mix effects that are going on? And just on the employee side as well, were there any sort of particular impacts you would highlight in terms of either the lockdowns, particularly obviously in China, or actually COVID generally with sickness in employees in, say, Europe or North America that had any impact on the operations in the quarter? And then just secondly, just as a more sort of general point, obviously with everything that's going on pricing, et cetera, you know, can you just sort of talk about maybe the conversations you have with your customers at the moment and whether you're seeing any potential impact on what their plans are, given that the fact that pricing is very high? Do you get the sense that anyone is slightly pulling back on any new product launches or even looking at existing products and trying to sort of replace some of the ingredients, just given the level of cost inflation there? Thank you very much.
Pete, shall I take the first one?
Yeah.
Dominic, thanks for the question about the employees. And basically, for sure, internally, we look at efficiency of our local organizations. And I think you might understand that that scale in our business helps. So if we can add complementary suppliers to an existing product portfolio, you as a company automatically become more efficient, because you hardly need to invest in additional new employees joining. So what we track, of course, is the efficiency levels per company. We internally benchmark. We look at where do we add and how do we add people. And yeah, there is a bit of an efficiency impact in there. I think your second question, Pete, you...
Yeah, generally, of course, looking back at this whole pandemic, of course, we have seen, first of all, of course, that the model of remote working worked, but that's not different from many others. Many people coming back. Yeah, what we see today now, of course, is severe lockdown in Shanghai, which affects our people. We can all read it in the papers, and that's, of course, something that also they have to undergo. We have daily contact with them, and to conduct business is under this circumstance extremely difficult. By and large, COVID has not had, fortunately, I mean, everybody almost had it, I think, but... it didn't mean severe, as far as we know, a severe health consequence for our people. And I can only say very, very proud and happy with how everybody performed under these difficult circumstances. On pricing or pulling back of products or out of formulations, I don't see that. I think that suppliers are very, also very responsible in the way they want to service their customers. So I think the problem more for them is to produce, you know, in sufficient quantities. But I don't see the trend that, let's say, the thing that you mentioned here. And
So that's not a problem for us.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answers.
Thank you. That was the final question in the queue. So as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question on the call today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. That was star 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. We do have a follow-up question coming through from the line of Kieran Mulder calling from ING. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, guys. My question is about the organization. So given that immense growth in the last couple of years, how much pressure is there on the organization to handle all this, this bigger size? Is that something you are looking at? Is that something is a concern for you? So maybe you can tell me something about it.
Yes, Quirijn, of course, but it's to a certain extent a pressure. But remember that we have a very decentralized model, and so local needs will be answered locally. What we have to do, of course, is to offer the right infrastructure, IT-wise, but also managerial-wise in terms of the regional management and the management of the business groups. And so far we have been able to do that. We compete for talent. I would say that is a constant in our industry. But so far, I think also emphasizing our open culture, our international culture, our entrepreneurial culture has enabled us to attract very good people in many parts of the world. I think current, liberalization of travel possibilities help us to reconnect. So I would say, yes, the HR part of our business is extremely important, the cultural aspect, but so far we have been able to cope with the growth and with our, in particular, also our geographical expansion. So I hope that gives you some color of this.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you. That does conclude the question and answer session for today. So I shall hand the call back across to yourself, Pete and Hans, for any concluding remarks.
Yes, well, thanks, Courtney. I thank everybody very much for their interest in IMCD and their questions. And, of course, there's always a possibility of one-on-one with particularly Hans. But I look forward to see you in the second quarter and wish you a very good day. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets. Hosts, please stay connected and await further instruction. Thank you.